Are you guys using the buddy system? Like, if you were here last week, are you warning people, hey, get ready. It's going to scare you. You're going to think that we're being attacked. You're not, are you? You're just like waiting and letting it happen. Well, this is week two of Parenthood. We began the series last week. Very, very excited about this series. Well, we started last week, and quick recap. We learned three things, or I hope we learned three things. The first thing we learned is that great parents are great kids. What that means is if we want to parent our kids effectively, we ourselves have to be children of God. We have to have a growing relationship with God where we allow Him to change us before we can have any way of actually parenting our kids the way God wants us to. All right, so that was number one. Number two, we learned that the heart of the problem is a problem of the heart. In raising our kids, we all focus on behaviors, right? We all want to make our kids stop. How many of you caught yourself this week saying, stop it, stop it? And then you were like, Trey, but it's not my fault, God's fault, so get mad at Him. But we learned that as we raise our kids, man, we focus so much on behaviors, but God, the God of the universe who's raising us, doesn't. He focuses on our heart. And so we have to learn to shift to focus on our hearts, because last thing we learned last week is some things you can control and some things you can't. We can work as hard as we can to create the most perfect environment possible for our kids, but there are still going to be things that are outside of our control. So as long as we let God work through us to focus on the heart, we can trust that when they come upon the circumstances that we may not perfectly like, if their hearts are there, they're going to be able to make it. So that was last week. And this week, we're going to focus on a different aspect of our relationship with God and God's relationship with us and how that relates to our kids. But first, before we go there, I want to make a confession to you. And I love you guys. I trust you. I think I can make this confession. I don't think you'll judge me too much for this confession. I think many of you share this, but you might not admit it as readily as I do. My confession is that I love television. Like, really love television. I like watching television. In fact, it might be my hobby. It really might be my hobby. Because, like, not only do I like watching television, I like reading people on the internet that talk about television. Some of my favorite blogs to read are television critics. I love it. I love knowing what shows are getting developed right now and that might come out next year. I love knowing what pilots are going. I know every new show that's coming out this fall. And I know if it's supposed to be good or if it's supposed to be bad. I know who's supposed to like it and who's not. I got my TiVo all set up so I can try all the new shows. It's a sickness. It's a disease. My name's Trey, and I'm a TV-aholic. But I love TV. I really do. And you do too, so, or otherwise it wouldn't make so much money. But as I watch television, especially as I watch television in light of this series, a lot of television shows portray parenting, right? I mean, there's a stinking show out right now called Parenthood. And no, I had the idea for the series before the show came out. But the idea from the series did come from the movie that came out a long time ago. But there's a show out right now called Parenthood. And actually, if you don't watch the show, it's very good, by the way. It's one of my favorites. I really enjoy the show. But last season, there was an episode that I've kind of been thinking about ever since. And I knew I was going to work into the series at some point. And here's the synopsis, if you don't know the story. The show Parenthood revolves around a family. And I'm not going to tell you all of them, but one of the main couples, they have a 16-year-old daughter, and the son's probably like 12 or 13, and he has Asperger's syndrome. But the 16-year-old, the story that week focused on the 16-year-old, and she had her first boyfriend. All right, she was beginning to date. She was beginning to date this guy and get serious about the guy. And of course, the mom and dad want to know about the guy. They want to know what's going on. They want to know all this. But Hattie is her name. Hattie's being very secretive about the whole thing. And so mom and dad, the whole episode is about this struggle of how do we find out what's going on in our kid's life, you know? They think about checking her email, or they think about, you know, looking at her text messages or going into her room or going into her computer. And the entire time, one of the recurring themes that the parents keep saying to each other is this. We just have to respect her privacy. We just have to respect her privacy. Which I hope you can tell by the sound of my voice is ridiculous. And so they don't, and then the climax of the episode is they finally decide to, whatever, her privacy doesn't matter anymore. So, well, as long as they don't get caught. And they sneak into her room, open up her computer, go on her Facebook page, and find out some stuff about her and her boyfriend. And she walks in and catches them. And she begins to yell at them and say, how dare you? This is an invasion of my privacy. And they apologize to her for invading her privacy. And the whole time I'm sitting there watching the show, my wife can attest to this, I'm literally screaming at the television, if you want privacy, move out. Pay your own bills if you want privacy. My kids are 5'3" and 5 months old, 5 weeks old. 5 months old, I wish. But where did this idea come from? I'm sorry if you're in the room today and you're a teenager. This hurts, but it is a privilege of a citizen of the United States of America, but if you live in the United States of Trey Kelly in my home, you ain't got no privacy until you move out. All right? And parents, let me tell you this real quick, little side note today. You need to be reading every single thing your kid writes, your kid types, your kid texts, your kid emails, your kid tweets, your kid likes on Facebook. If they do it, you need to know it. But we don't. Even watching that episode, and even some of you, you can kind of relate to what those parents were going through, because especially in this country, and some of it's okay, I guess, but especially a lot of people, maybe the generation just above mine, we all were kind of brought up with this mentality to really distrust, almost to the point of hating, authority. We don't like to be under authority. We don't like for our bosses to tell us what to do. And a lot of us don't like to have that authority. The reason they felt uncomfortable invading their child's privacy is because they didn't want to be the big bad boss man. They didn't want to be the big authority figure invading their child's privacy. We grow up railing against the man, which I've still never met him. But I've got some news for the mom and dads in the room today. And this is what we're talking about today. You may not like the man. You may have come up and brought up loving the fact that you could throw off authority and authority's stupid and I'm going to show the man. Bad news, folks. You are the man. Or the woe man. You are in charge. You are the man and the woman when it comes to raising your kids. See, we learned last week, there's a passage in Ephesians 6:4. This is the verse we're looking at for the whole series. It says this, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. And here's the deal. That's not an idea. That's not a nice little thing we can think about from time to time. That's a command from the God of the universe to you and to me to raise our kids, to bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. And here's what that means. It means we don't bring them up in the discipline and instruction that comes from Oprah or that comes from Dr. Laura or Dr. Phil or, God forbid, even James Dobson. He's not God. God is God. And we bring our kids up in the discipline and instruction that comes from God. But I've got some freedom today. I've got some good news for you today. All of you who are afraid of the man, all of you who don't know if it's okay to invade your kids' privacy, all that kind of stuff, I have great news today. It's going to be a relief. Here's the first thing I want to tell you today. As parents, when it comes to your kids, are you ready for your life to be transformed? Here it is. You're in charge. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
You are in charge. Mom, Dad, any other arrangement, if you're an aunt and you're raising the kids, you are in charge. In my house, what we say is I'm the boss. The boys will start saying something. I'll say, no, John. You're not the boss. I'm the boss. And then John, because he is ridiculous, will say, well, about mommy? And I'll say, yes, John. Mommy is the boss. And then daddy's kind of the boss under her. And you are not the boss. And you all, even if you resist this temptation, even if you don't like the whole concept of being in charge, even if you maybe don't invade your kids' privacy, which you should, you've all come to the place where you're okay being in charge. And I know it because you've all uttered the one phrase that we all grew up swearing we'd never say. We all grew up saying, don't spoil it. We all grew up saying we would never say it. But it's the ultimate sign that you are in charge and you all know it. It's because I said so. I could still remember the first time I said it. A cold shiver went up my spine. Literally, I think I had an out-of-body experience. And like everything slowed down. It was like those scenes in a movie, you know, when there's about to be a wreck or maybe the person's kid's running into the road and it goes in really slow motion. Like, you know, that's how it was. I just saw it because I said, like, if I could have grabbed the words and put them back in my mouth, I would have. But guess what? You're in charge. So you can say it if you want to. You can say, because I said so. You know, right? You know why? Because you're in charge. Because God said, you're in charge. It ain't a democracy. They don't get to vote. They don't get to have privacy. You are in charge. Like it or not, you're the man or the woman. I'm equal opportunity here. And this comes straight from the Bible. Genesis 18, verse 19. This is God talking to Abraham. But it applies to us. And this is what he told Abraham. He said, I have singled him out. I've singled you out. So you will direct your sons and their families to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just. Direct the family. Lead the family. In charge. If you're a mommy, if you're a daddy, if you're responsible for a kid's upbringing, you are in charge. And I want us to embrace this today, all right? I want everyone to join me, all right? We're going to all say it together. I'm the boss. All right, so let's all say it together. Ready? One, two, three. I'm the boss. If you're a teenager in the room, don't you say this, because you're not. Ready? One more time. One, two, three. I'm the boss. See, we're not like Tony Danza's sitcom. We know who's the boss. Us. Now, there's only one little caveat to this. Only one little thing. It's okay, we're still in charge. I'm not going to tell you we're not in charge. But there's one slight caveat that if we want to raise our kids in discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord, if we want to raise them the way God wants us to raise them, we got to get this. We're in charge, get this, because God said so. We're in charge because God said so. We're in charge of our kids because God wants us to be in charge of our kids. And again, this is a concept that parents understand in an external level. They never thought about it between themselves and God, but they understand it. Because every parent in the room at one time or another has had a babysitter. Be it someone that you hired or a relative or whatever, you've had a babysitter come to your home and watch your children so that you could go and be away from them for a while. Just admit it. You needed to be away. Danny and I, 2 days ago, we were just like, God is really, this is what happens as a pastor. When you preach on a subject, God's like, ha ha, I'm going to have some fun with you. Whoa, kids have been crazy. And I've been patient and tried to shepherd their hearts and not beat them. Okay, but you have babysitters. And, you know, the babysitter comes over. You kind of walk her through the deal or walk him through the deal. I guess you have to do babysitters too. Don't want to offend anybody. And then what's the last thing you say as you walk out the door? Last thing you say, let's say the babysitter's name is Sarah. Last thing you say is, all right, kids, be good. Sarah's in charge. And you shut the door. It's the last thing you say. Sarah's in charge. But now let me ask you a question. Is Sarah really in charge? Could Sarah decide, I'm going to feed these kids. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give them all a bowl. I'm going to put pure sugar in it. And we're going to see who can lick it up the fastest. Could Sarah do that? Could Sarah say, I think these kids need to watch the first 20 minutes of Saving Private Ryan right now. I think that would really educate them. Could Sarah say, these kids need tattoos. I'm going to go get them a tattoo. Could she let them decide that even though they're not, they're old enough to drive a car? Any of those things? No. No. She couldn't. Because she's not really in charge. What you really meant to say is that Sarah's in charge as long as Sarah does what I want her to do. Because I'm really in charge. Sarah is representing me while I'm gone. But she can only do what I want her to do. See, there was a limit to Sarah's authority. There was a limit to the babysitter's authority. And that limit was your authority, right? If she went outside of what you wanted her to do, she was outside of the parameters of your authority, and therefore she was no longer in charge. Well, guess what? As parents who want to raise our kids in the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord, we too operate under someone else's authority. And that's God's authority. We act on His behalf. We raise our kids on His behalf. See, that's what the passage we just read that God told Abraham, that's what He told him to do. He said, direct your kids in my ways. See, God's in charge. He's put us here to help Him and to act on His behalf. But He's in charge. Let's go back to our main passage. Ephesians 6:4 says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. You should have this memorized by the end, by the way. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. And the point I'm trying to make, what we really need to get, what's really going to, I believe, help us in what I've said since last week is what's required here is a fundamental shift in the way we view parenting. All right? I told you guys from the beginning, this wasn't going to be a 1-2-3 self-help thing. This was going to be a radical shift, I hope. It was for me. A radical shift in the way I viewed my role with my kids. And what we got to get here is what we've been saying. The job that we have of raising our kids, it's not really even one we decided to do. We think we did. But it was actually ordained by God. He allowed it to happen. And He says, all right, mom, dad, you're the babysitters. I'm going to be watching. Hey, kids, these guys are in charge. But until we get that our authority over our kids is actually one handed down to us by God, we'll never be able to fully raise them in the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. Because we'll keep thinking that it's up to us. We'll keep thinking that, well, you know, what I want to do is this, and so it's a good idea because I'm in charge. But that's not the way it works. It's not the way it works. And see, this is really actually going to be helpful. I promise. Right now you're kind of, it's still an idea up here, and maybe you're wrestling with it, and you're like, okay, I kind of get it, but I don't really know what that means on day-to-day life. We're gonna get there today. I'm going to help you see on a day-to-day basis how this should change, because it should. It should clarify your role as a parent. It really should. Because you knowing that the way God designed it is for you to work under His authority and for you to work for Him, it greatly clarifies your goals as a parent. Right? And I can't give too much away because that's my message for next week. And I've already written it and I'm trying not to preach it. But I really want to because it's good. But we do as parents, man, we can let all our baggage and all the unfulfilled expectations of our life, we can say, hey, I get a do-over with my kid. This is fantastic. This is what I'm going to do with it. No, not your call. Not your call. God's call. God's the one who's in charge. And in fact, when you get this, when you get that, you know, you're under God's authority, what really happens is you discover you're not your kid's boss. You're both employees under the boss. You are much more on the same level than how we think we are, which is boss, kid. It's much more God, parent, kid. All right? Parent, kid. And that sounds scary, but it actually works better. It really does work better. Because as we'll talk about in week 4, the key to this whole thing is communicating with your kid and understanding what they're struggling with and them understanding what you're struggling with and them understanding mommy and daddy aren't perfect, but they're also trying to love and please God. And sometimes mommy and daddy mess up, and this is how mommy and daddy tell God they're sorry. And this is why you need to tell people you're sorry, because we're all trying to learn how to love God more and be more like God. See, it radically changes all that kind of stuff when we can get this. So here's what I'm going to do. I want to flesh this out a little bit because I still think it might be up here. So I want to give you a phrase, and I'm going to give you a couple of statements that are true in light of that phrase, all right? Here's the phrase that I want us to all kind of wrestle with if we want to get this, if we want to get what it means to raise our kids in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, if we want to get what it means to actually be under God's authority, if we want to get what it means to realize that we are still over our kids, but we got to be under stuff. Here's the deal. If we want to get over the things God's placed under us, we first got to get under the things God's placed over us. All right, let me say that again. If we want to get over, meaning our kids, if we want to get over the things that God's placed under us, we first have to get under the things God's placed over us. If we want to exercise proper authority with our kids, we have to first get under the proper authority that God's placed in our lives. I kind of started this last week when I talked about great parents or great kids. We have to submit to God. But it's not just God. There are lots of authorities that He's put in our life. And I'm going to tell you, if all your kids do is hear you complain about how dumb your boss is, if all your kids ever hear you do is complain about how stupid the government is, if all your kids ever hear you do is complain about how stupid cops are and I should be able to drive as fast as I want, guess what you're teaching your kids? You're teaching them that authority is dumb and is to be questioned. Period. That's what you're teaching them. On one side, you're saying, I'm your authority, listen to me because I'm smart and I know best. But on the other side, by your life, you're saying, authority is stupid, I hate it, and I'm smarter than all of them. So guess which one they're going to pick up on when they become teenagers? It ain't going to be this one. It's going to be, but mommy and daddy know better than everybody else, so why don't I? Why don't I? I got up. As this series came out, many of you know my dad attends this church. And he was like, don't you talk bad about how I raised you. he did. They were actually great. But this is actually one of the ones that I really wanted to share. One of the examples that was really, really beat into me as a kid. It was this authority thing. I don't even know if he would have called it that. But it was one rule at my house when it came to my interaction with teachers at school. One rule. You know what it was? They are right. Period. Didn't matter what happened. Didn't matter what was said. Didn't matter what I did. Didn't matter what they did. My dad was like, well, did the teacher do it? Yes. Well, they're right. Because, son, they're in charge. And then he would say, so if you don't like it, graduate early. So I did. But that was beating me as a kid. They are the authority. They are in charge. It doesn't matter if I'm right or if I'm wrong. In that situation, they're the boss. That's it. But we don't do that, do we? If a teacher gives our kid a bad grade, what do? We don't talk to the kid about why didn't you study. We go up to the school and blame the teacher and say, well, you didn't teach my kid well enough. And it's the teacher's fault. Or if a kid's getting in trouble, instead of letting them face the consequences, we attack the system. And we do everything we can. We pay whoever we got to do to get them out of it. I mean, I'm not saying you don't help your kid, don't support your kid. All I'm saying is, if we want to get over the things God's placed under us, we first got to get under the things God's placed over us. And that's not just God. That is other authority figures in our life. Romans 13, 1 and 2 says this. Listen to this. Everyone must submit to governing authorities. Hear this. For all authority comes from God. And those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. Yes, your dumb boss has authority over you because God said so. Sorry. I preached that about 6 months ago. Verse 2, so anyone who rebels against authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and they will be punished. So here's a question. Are you teaching your kids to submit to authority or to question it? Are you teaching your kids? All authority comes from God. And sometimes we get confused and we don't know what's going on. But it's okay because God's still in charge. And then you take out this passage and you say, see this in Romans 13? You know who Paul was writing to? Paul was writing to people who were serving under an emperor who was having them killed. And he tells them, all authority comes from God. Listen. Because sometimes we don't know what God's up to. Because what they didn't know at the time was God was using that persecution to purify his message, to purify his faith, to make sure only people who were saying they were Christians really believed in Jesus. And that catalyst transformed the world. So you never know what's going on. So parents, what are you teaching your kids? You teaching them to submit to authority, including you. Or you're teaching them to do as I say, not as I do. I say listen to me, but I don't listen to anybody else. If we want to get over the things God's placed under us, we first got to get under the things God's placed over us. And once we do that, once we can get that, I really believe things will change. I really do. How to raise your kids in discipline and instruction of the Lord becomes clearer when you get, I'm under authority, I model that for my kids, they're under authority, I'm going to listen to God, I'm going to let God lead through me, I serve as God's agent, I serve as God's representative, God's babysitter, if you will. That's your role, that's your calling. Two statements I want to give you that I'm going to flesh out over the next 2 weeks. And then we're going to be done. Two statements I want to give you we're going to flesh out over the next 2 weeks that if this is true, which it is, these two statements should be active in our life. They should change the way we fundamentally react and act in our relationship with our kids. Here's statement number one. Your right to discipline and instruct your child, hear this, is tied to what God has called you to do, not your own agenda. You hear that? It's tied to what God wants you to do, not your own agenda. Let's go back to the babysitter analogy. The babysitter can't decide what's wrong for your kids. She can't arbitrarily decide, you know what? I don't want them to walk on the carpet today. So if they walk on the carpet, I'm going to spank them. She didn't get to do that. There's a standard. And it's the standard you've given her. Well, as parents who I hope want to raise your children in the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord, we have a standard as well. But it's not ours. So that means that standard doesn't include your kid not doing well at sports. That standard doesn't include your kid not living up to your expectations at school. That standard doesn't include your teenage daughter dating the most popular boy. And no, you would never admit that's a goal you have for your kids, but you do. Maybe you didn't date the popular boy in high school, so you want her to. And so you push her and you encourage her. Maybe a little too far. Again, that's next week. I don't want to get too far ahead. But our right to discipline, our right to instruct, is tied to God and what God wants us to do. Here's number two, and this one's going to blow your mind. Especially if you have preschoolers. When your child disobeys, it is God who is being disobeyed, not you. When your child disobeys, it is God who is being disobeyed, not you. And this has a lot of ramifications we're going to work on over the next few weeks. But today, the biggest one is your anger. Your anger when your kids disobey. Guess what? There's no room for it. This is the one God's been testing me on this week. I'm like, really, God? Really? But it's not. Because here's what happens. When our kids disobey and we get angry, that's when we punish them. If our kids disobey and we don't care that they disobeyed, we don't punish them. Oh, come on. You know that's true. They can ignore you 10 times, but the 11th time when they ignore you or when they spill grape juice or something, that's when you get mad and then they get punished. And here's what happens. Our anger, when our kids disobey, here's what it does. it frames their sin problem, which is what it really is. It frames that problem as a problem between me and them. And it's not. It's a problem between them and God. Their sin doesn't hurt me. I'm a sinner too. It should be like this. Me and my kids should be together looking at God saying, sorry, dude. But that's not what happens. God's here. We put ourselves right in the middle. And we say, no, please me. Don't worry about him. Don't worry about the man behind the curtain. Please me. That's idolatry. At its core, that's telling your kid the most important thing is making you happy and you're going to fulfill them by treating them nice. That's really scary. I mean, I do it every day, but it's really scary. I'm not, you know, full exposure here. You know, I have not figured this out. We're working this all out together. But I'm going to tell you, it's hard. And the only way this is going to work is if you let God transform you from the inside out. But hear me when I say this, there's no room for our anger in parenting. None. I'll read you a verse and we're going to close. James 1, 19 through 20 says this. It says, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Hear this, 20. Hear this. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. Do you get that? Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. And I know some of you are looking at me like, man, you're crazy. How could I not get mad at my kids when they deliberately disobey me? How can I not continue to get mad at them? Here's how. When's the last time God got mad at you? Now I am preaching my message for 2 weeks from now, but it's okay. It'll still be good. When's the last time God yelled at you? Just tell me. I'd love to hear it. When's the last time God showed anger towards anybody? I know. I know when it was. It was over 2,000 years ago to his son on a cross. That was it. It's all gone now. And we work for him. We work under his command. And so if we want to get over the things God's placed under us, we've got to get under the thing God's placed over us. And we've got to let him parent us and transform our hearts so that when it comes to our kids, we can take a step back and be the mature adults we're supposed to be when our kid's acting crazy and take a step back and say, it's not me, he's disobeying, it's God. And my job here is to handle him how God handles me when I disobey. And I can't remember the last time God yelled at me. Side note, this doesn't mean we don't punish our kids, by the way. That's week four. We do punish our kids. Just didn't want you getting the idea that that's where I was going. It's hard. I'm not telling you it's not hard. Possibly the hardest job we can have, but it's also the most rewarding. It's the most fulfilling. I mean, we get to see God use us to literally transform lives. And hopefully in 20 years, they still like us and want to hang out with us. Isn't that the goal? And then they give us grandkids and we could make fun of them being terrible parents. Right? It's like, ha ha. I know it's hard, but I'm telling you, man, I truly believe you guys want to raise your kids in the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. Here's why I believe it. Because I believe you want the best for your kids. Whether you believe in God or not, I believe you want the best for your kids. And I'm telling you, God's way is the best. So come back next week. We're going to look at the fact that because God's in charge, that should affect what we want for our kids. It should affect how we train them and what we point them towards and what we emphasize as we grow up and as they grow up. But this week as we close, here's what I ask you to do. I want to just ask you to continue to pray. Ask God to continue to open your eyes to the why behind what your kids do. All right? That's still the heart of what we're doing. Understanding the heart that's going on inside of them and asking God to help you to transform it. But this week, you got to add one more layer to it. You got to add the fact that God's in charge. And all right, God, everything I do is for you. That's a Bryan Adams song. Yikes. Everything I do it for you. Come on, you know that song, right? I guess y'all weren't at Skateland when I was. That was a couple skate song, Jack. Everything we do, we do it because God's allowed us to do it, and we do it as a representative of him. And that changed the way I parent. And it should change the way you parent. But we're still in the middle of this. We got two more weeks. God's going to help us clarify. He's going to help solidify. I believe He's going to transform the way we raise our kids. Let's pray. Father, we love You. Man, we thank You for this opportunity You give us. And we also confess to You that it is hard. And we get confused. But Lord, I believe every person in this room, every parent wants the absolute best for your kid, for their kids. And Lord, we know that's You. So Father, continue to mold us, continue to shape us, continue to give us understanding. And maybe supernaturally make our kids a little more polite. And go ahead and change their hearts a little bit for us. That'd be nice. We love You, Father. It's a privilege to partner with You in raising our children. In Your name we pray. Amen.